gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Greek urn of free speech. Why? Why? Because, like a Greek urn, the free speech on RBN will reverberate throughout the millennia. It really will. And you want to keep that reverberation going, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send drachma. And download the Co-Certified app from nationalbugle.com, because we're number one. We are number one for downloads on the Co-Certified app. All right, today is Tuesday, the day that we have Mark Collett jump across the pond. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Obviously, at the moment, we have a lot of strange things happening in the world. We seem to be on the brink of war, which is very, very interesting, and I would say obviously quite concerning. But I think there's a lot to be unpacked there, and it seems as though whilst the West is desperate, and I mean absolutely desperate, to talk up the threat of Vladimir Putin and Russia, they're completely ignoring, or the Western media is completely ignoring, what I think is a much more pressing issue, which is of course the issue of the issue of Canada and the brutalization of the Canadian people by Justin Trudeau. And I think this sort of presents such an interesting talking point, because ultimately what you've actually got here is the Western media constantly going on about Russia, but then at the same time ignoring the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is obviously the issue of the complete loss of rights of people in Canada. And one thing that's very interesting with that is you're actually seeing the Canadian establishment seizing the funds, the bank accounts, the cryptocurrencies of people who are part of anti-COVID restriction groups. Now, you've got to say this. If this was Russia doing this to Russian citizens, again, people would be talking about, the brutalization of, the Russian people. And I think it's really, really important that this is discussed, because the comparison obviously, again, shows up the fact that it's not really about, when the media covers things, it's not really about ensuring that the truth gets out there, or that all people of the world have rights, or that all people of the world are looked after properly and equally. It's about demonizing any group that isn't lockstep with the liberal agenda. Because obviously Trudeau is a massive liberal. He stands for all of the things that undermine the West. And as such, he is allowed to brutalize anybody that disagrees with him. Whereas on the other hand, you have Russia. And I'm not saying Russia is the most wonderful nation on the planet. I'm not saying Vladimir Putin is exactly the leader that we want or need. But it is fair to say that Russia is one of the major players on the world stage which hasn't bowed a knee to all the liberal degeneracy that we see destroying the West. And I think that's one of the main reasons why they have to completely ruin him, lie about him, and make him out to be the aggressor in every respect. And I don't believe he is the aggressor here. I don't believe that Vladimir Putin and Russia are the ones behind the trouble that you're seeing caused. I think most of the trouble you're seeing caused, as we said last week, is solely down to NATO and basically NATO expanding its area of military operations within Eastern Europe and trying to essentially push up as close as it can to Russia's territorial borders. And Vladimir Putin is not having this. And I completely accept that and understand why.
Exactly. This is fundamentally a Jewish push to regime change Vladimir Putin. They want to overthrow Vladimir Putin and get more puppet kind of government, like they had with Yeltsin, and like they thought they were going to have with Putin, because, you know, maybe it doesn't deserve emphasis, but it does deserve mention that Vladimir Putin came in 1999, was it mid to late 1999, as the prime minister of Russia under Boris Yeltsin. And Boris Yeltsin had had a number of prime ministers over his, let's see, he had been president of the Russian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic for a little while before the dismemberment of the Soviet Union, which he was largely responsible for. But for independent Russia, he was president for about 8 years, and he'd gone through a number of prime ministers, and things. His popularity was in the toilet, as it should have been, because under his tenure, Russia was undergoing basically famine. People were starving to death. People were freezing to death in the winter. Male life expectancy was down by 7 years, and that should tell you a lot. And all the wealth of the country had come into the hands of a dozen or so Jewish oligarchs. And so it was a disaster. But the Jewish oligarchs loved it. And the Jews overseas, who had been partners with these oligarchs and had supplied them the capital that they needed in order to gain control of the assets, they loved it. But the Russian people were on the verge of the Russian people in 1996 had elected Gennady Zyuganov, the head of the rather anti-Semitic Communist Party, as president, but the election was stolen. They weren't going to be able to steal the election so easy in 2000. Zyuganov was still saying, hey, if Jews want to live in Russia, they have to act like Russians, otherwise they should get the hell out. And he was the odds-on favorite to win the elections. So they were desperate, and they went to Putin. Putin was supposed to save things for the oligarchs. Well, he did. I mean, Putin became very, very popular with maybe they were false flags, I don't know, but with getting people to rally around the flag with regards to Chechen terrorism. But once he had his own independent base of support, then he went after the oligarchs. And the Jews have never, ever forgiven that, especially these diaspora Jews like Victoria Nuland, the people that run the United States. And so they're going after him. I wanted to lay that groundwork. There's other important things to be said about the history of Ukraine and whatnot, and also Vladimir Putin's speech last night. But I'm just leaving it there, kicking it back to you. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I think that Vladimir Putin's an interesting guy. And I've got to say this. When it comes down to trust and who I would prefer as a leader, if you were to say to me, Mark, who would you have leading your nation? Would you have Vladimir Putin? Or would you have somebody like Boris Johnson? I would choose Putin any day of the week. Any day of the week, I would choose Vladimir Putin. I think Vladimir Putin is a much, much better leader than Boris Johnson. I think Boris Johnson is terrible. And I think Vladimir Putin is obviously, I mean, this goes without saying, I usually start off with the American president, but could anyone even suggest or even joke that Biden is a better leader than Vladimir Putin? I mean, Biden is an absolute comedic disaster. It's not really comedy, is it? He's wrecking. He is wrecking the country. You know, he is an absolute disaster. Well and truly, the worst American president I think you could possibly imagine. I mean, everything about him is just absolutely terrible. So, yeah, you'd have to say that fundamentally, you would pick Putin over Biden or over Boris Johnson. So I do like him. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect, and that's a big difference. Like, people often sort of misquote you when you are talking about these kind of things. And people will say, oh, you know, you're a massive Putin fan. You know, Putin's not perfect. Why are you kissing up to him, etc.? And I'm not saying he is perfect, But I am saying I have more in common with Putin than I do with probably any, well, definitely any Western leader. So, yeah, that obviously counts out other, you know, leaders in Eastern Europe, but definitely any Western European or sort of Western leader, definitely I have more in common with Putin than any of them. And I think Putin's an interesting guy because he often says things that we would say. And that is obviously kind of refreshing to hear, because ultimately nobody really within the mainstream, let alone any national leader here in the West, ever says things that we want them to say. They are always, always on the side of evil. They're always, always on the side of those who are trying to bring about our downfall. And I think that's very, very important. So Putin, from my point of view, is a bit of a winner here. And generally, when he does things, it tends to be for decent reasons. So, you know, he went into Syria and protected a more secular state. He protected a state where Christians live. He protected Assad's regime. And he did this by defeating ISIS. Now, people say that Trump defeated ISIS. It wasn't Trump that defeated ISIS. It was Putin. Putin bombed ISIS back to the Stone Age and allowed a sovereign nation to basically flourish. Now, had Putin not done that, I think we all know what the upshot would have been. The upshot would have been, quite fundamentally, that we would have seen another country taken over by a group like ISIS. And ISIS, that would have been a good thing for Israel. That would have been a good thing for America. Now, we know both the American establishment, the British establishment, and Israel were happy for that to happen. They were arming ISIS. They were arming Al-Qaeda in the region. Now, none of that came to pass, and that didn't come to pass because of Vladimir Putin. So, again, you've got to give the guy points for that. So, really, you can't speak too ill of him. Now, again, this doesn't mean he's perfect. This doesn't mean he is the world's greatest leader. This doesn't mean that I'd get on with him on every single issue, but it does volumes about him as a person. And you don't always have to get perfect to be happy. You know, obviously, perfection is a good thing. If we all got the perfect leader, that would be absolutely wonderful. And I certainly would love a leader in the West that embodied all of the values I hold. But if you get big chunks of what you want, I think you have to be thankful for that, and you have to give praise where praise is due. And I think Vladimir Putin has given us, as nationalists, big chunks of what we want, not in just what he says, but also in his actions. And I wouldn't say that Putin is as eager for territorial grabs as the West. Yet at the moment, that is what the West are making out. The West are making out that Putin is the man who wants a big territory grab. I just don't see that. I don't see that at all. Mm-hmm. If you look at the past 20 to 30 years, historically, all the large land grabs, power grabs, big foreign invasions, which were completely unprovoked, took place within, you know, under Western control. It was the West that carried these out, usually due to Zionist coercion. Now, people might say, oh, well, the Twin Towers was a big provocation, but ultimately, I think that is one of the biggest false flags the world has ever seen. And it's quite funny because Boris Johnson keeps saying, oh, you know, Russia are going to carry out false flags to ensure that there is something going on out there in Ukraine to justify an invasion. Well, the question is, if he did that, which I don't think he's doing, that would be right out of the Western playbook. That would be right out of the Western playbook. And I also think in the Ukraine, there are a number of people and groups that do actually support Putin. They do actually support Putin. They support the Russian state because they are ethnically Russian. And that's something that's very important to remember, that a lot of the borders in that part of the world have been redrawn several times over post-World War II. And there have been huge movements of people. And because of that, this isn't the same as, say, lots of Pakistani Muslims coming to parts of West Yorkshire and colonizing them and taking it over. This is something very different, and it has to be seen in a very different way. When you're looking at this from a geopolitical perspective, this is very, very different than, say, mass immigration into the UK from places like the Indian subcontinent or Africa. These people are there because at one time, obviously, Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, and parts of Russia were actually gifted to the Ukraine by Soviet leaders, but they are actually Russian.
You know, their territory that is inhabited by Russian, like Crimea, I mean, for centuries, Crimea was taken by the Russian Empire from the Ottoman Empire. It never had anything to do with Ukraine, and it was taken in the 1700s. So Putin made a speech yesterday, and at the end of the speech, he did a signing ceremony with the leaders of these two breakaway regions, where they signed basically mutual defense pacts, which sets the stage for the Russian military to move in as peacekeepers into these territories that Russia is recognizing as independent and sovereign, and thus it's not an invasion of Ukraine, at least not from their point of view. Andrew Anglin has a relatively pretty good bullet point summary of the speech. I'll summarize his summary. Putin says that Ukraine is not controlled by the Ukrainian people, but by foreigners, by oligarchs. It would be nice if he said by Jews. I say it's, you know, run by Jews and foreigners, but he's saying oligarchs and foreigners. He still has restraints. He, like you said, Stalin and Khrushchev gave Russian territory to Ukraine for political reasons. Ukraine is a colony with a puppet government. Ukraine is threatening to build nuclear weapons. And, of course, they actually had nuclear weapons at the end of when the Soviet Union was dismantled, but they voluntarily got rid of the nuclear weapons. They could get them back. I mean, they've got massive nuclear power industry. Chernobyl is one example. NATO had promised that in exchange for allowing East Germany to be absorbed by West Germany, and West Germany was already in NATO, that in exchange for that they wouldn't expand eastward, and they violated that. He said for the first time he revealed certain aspects of his conversation with Bill Clinton in 2000, when Bill Clinton was still president and Putin was a new president, where he asked if Russia could join NATO, and Bill Clinton just laughed at him. He talked about the Maidan Revolution, which wasn't a revolution, but it was a coup backed by the United States. He pointed out that Russian speakers in Ukraine have been oppressed. They've been oppressed for ever since Maidan, not allowed to use Russian in schools or in official business, even though English can be used in official business. He said that Russia will recognize the independence of these two countries, and now they're moving the peacekeepers in. So that's where we are right now. It seems that, from what I understand, as soon as the Russian army moved in as peacekeepers, the shelling from Ukraine of these two regions stopped. Anyway, we are coming up at the break, but there's a lot more to unpack with this, so we'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we are back. And I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the speech in full yet, Mark, but what did you think of that?
I think that's very interesting. I think one of the things that's most interesting is that you do have a number of policies that have obviously been enacted to really antagonize Russians in the Ukraine and to completely airbrush out the historical perspective of Russia in Ukraine. So not being allowed to speak Russian is very strange. And this is quite interesting, because what we've actually got here is a situation where here in the UK, everyone can speak their own language to the point of ridiculousness. So, you know, you have councils printing, 30, leaflets in 30 different languages, et cetera, you know, just to make sure that everybody can read it. And the idea of somebody like myself going to a local council office and saying, well, look, I think this is ridiculous that this is being printed in, you know, Punjabi or Urdu or something like that. The councils, the powers that be, they would be in uproar about this. They would say, oh, no, it's racist to suggest that these people shouldn't have every pamphlet printed in their language. This would be something that the powers that be would not like at all.
And it's important to note that translation is actually very expensive.
Yeah. Now, I personally wouldn't have any pamphlets here in the UK printed in foreign languages, but I would have them printed in the languages of the different ethnicities of these islands. So, for example, if something was printed in Gaelic, if something was printed in Welsh, that is absolutely fine by me, because they are different indigenous peoples of these islands. Now, the Russian people living in Ukraine, in the Ukraine, are actually indigenous people. They are actually, they have always been there. They are not immigrants. They are not people who have migrated into the Ukraine. They are people who actually have always lived there because, as we've said earlier, parts of Russia were gifted to the Ukraine at different points during the Soviet Union's history. So, of course, this puts everything into a really, really different perspective. And it also tells you just how the Western powers flip and turn on a dime when it's useful for them. So in this case, what we're actually seeing here is a situation where Western powers are saying, oh, yes, 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 we're going to turn a blind eye to this kind of discrimination against the indigenous people here in the Ukraine. But here in the UK, or maybe in America or in other Western countries, you know, we have all of our material translated into lots of different languages that are in no way indigenous. We're in no way, you know, should be printed by local councils. The cost of this is absolutely massive. So this is another one of your classic kind of double standards, and it's obviously being used to cause resentment in the region. I would say that the operations here are to cause resentment, they're to cause problems, and they're to force Russians out. And they're to force Russians out so that Russia has no sort of claim, or has a lesser claim, but more importantly, not just a lesser claim, but that Russia actually is in a position where, unfortunately for them, with fewer actual Russians living there, if all the Russians were forced out, they couldn't really actually ever take areas of the Ukraine again, because to take areas or to annex areas of a country, you do need a supportive population. You can't annex portions of a country if everybody there absolutely despises you. And obviously, in parts of the Ukraine, the Russian parts, there are plenty of Russian speakers and you know, individuals who do absolutely 110% want Russia in control. So I think this is a mixture of really, really horrible politics, lies from the media, and underhanded Western policy, which has actually caused most of this. But obviously, what we're saying here would be seen as highly controversial to, you know, the mainstream media, or just to the mainstream, because the mainstream obviously want to paint this in a way that makes the public think that Russia are completely to blame, and specifically demonizes Vladimir Putin. Because at the moment in the press, you know, the way the Western press talk about him is as if he's literally the devil himself. I mean, at the moment, there have been numerous comparisons made between Putin and Hitler. That's one of the big things that the Western press has been doing.
Yeah, and not in a good way either.
Sorry? And not in a good way. Way. not in a good way. Yes.
We always have to clarify, don't we?
We always have to clarify. I liked that bit. That was good.
Well, anyway. Yeah,
this is one of those things which I think is a classic case of Western media distortion and lies. And there's a lot to this story which isn't going to be told in the mainstream. And it's not going to be told in the mainstream because the mainstream have this anti-Russian bias. And I think a lot of this anti-Russian bias is driven by the fact that Russia isn't a state, or it's not a state that supports the globo-homo agenda, basically.
Yep. All right, well, we're at the break. We'll have to be further on the other side.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We are back, and you were just saying that part of the hostility. I think the main hostility is because towards Putin is because he ended the Jewish party, the Jewish orgy that was Russia during the 1990s. But of course he is, since then he's been standing up for, you know, the Russian family and whatnot, and opposing transsexualism and all of this stuff. So that did you have more to say about that?
No, I mean, obviously I completely agree with that. That's one of the things that I believe. I believe that a large part of this, and why they have so many people going to Russia or so many NGOs attempting to interfere in Russian politics, is because fundamentally they want the whole world to, or every white nation, to go down this route of, you know, globo homo, anti-white agenda. And part of that is obviously going to be aimed at Russia, because Eastern Europe is one of the final kind of barriers to the entire world falling to this madness. You've got a lot of people there who are traditionalists, a lot of people there who are Christian. You have a strong church in Russia, the Russian Orthodoxy, which again is often attacked within the mainstream media. So I believe that much of the pressure on Russia, it's certainly not because of economics. Russia isn't an economic powerhouse. I think this is all to do with social policy, and it's to do with Russia being a traditionalist bloc.
Yep. Now, this is these two breakaway regions, which are, you know, self-declared republics, the People's Republic or Luhansk People's Republic and the Donetsk People's Republic. They proclaimed their independence 8 years ago, and so Vladimir Putin's waited 8 years to do this. He didn't wait 8 years for Crimea because Crimea is more strategic and for other reasons, but he waited 8 years to do this. During those 8 years, he has been pushing this Minsk Accord that he had reached with the earlier versions of the Ukrainian puppet government, which would have reincorporated these territories into Ukraine, would not have redrawn the map, but it would have given Russians civil rights. It would have given these regions a certain amount of autonomy. And that was something that the Ukrainian government at the time agreed to, but never implemented. Instead, they've passed laws banning the use of Russian and so 8 years. 8 years is a long time. That's a lot of restraint. Now, one thing that's very unfortunate, you wonder, I mean, the Ukrainian language really isn't that different from Russian. And, you know, the Russian nation, it has its origins not in Moscow, but in Kiev. You know, the Russian and Ukrainian people, to say that they even have a different history, a separate history, is pretty contentious. They're practically the same people. And yet you've got, you know, the Ukrainians saying that they're going to build nuclear weapons to use against Russia, right? So, I mean, it's like it seems crazy. Now, a lot of this has to do with the history of the early Soviet Union, where you had this massive famine in Ukraine. And we are able to look at it and unpack it and see that this was due to Jewish policies. The Jewish factions of the Bolshevik leadership, led by Trotsky, they were pushing for collectivization of agriculture and maximum exploitation of the rural sector, the agricultural sector, in order to invest in the industrial sector, in order to prepare for world wars, for wars that needed to happen in order to spread communism everywhere. That was the Trotskyite policy, and the result was a massive famine in Ukraine, where you had, you know, how many millions of people died?
Eight to ten million.
Nobody bothers to count. It doesn't matter, right? You know, it's not like the Sacred Six, not the Sacred 6 million. But yeah, so you had massive deaths. The problem is that, you know, even after the Jewish oligarchs, or not the Jewish oligarchs, the Jewish Bolsheviks were purged by Stalin, you had another half century or more of Soviet history where the Soviets couldn't go back and they couldn't talk about this, right? So it was swept under the rug. And by the time the Soviet Union's dismembered, you had kind of this worldwide Jewish power. And so, unfortunately, you've got the Ukrainians who are mad about the Holodomor, but they blame it on ethnic Russians rather than on Jews. And ethnic Russians, unfortunately, instead of saying, wait, it was the Jews, for the most part, they're saying, wait, no, it didn't really happen. You're exaggerating everything. And so this isn't everything, but this has something to do with the, you know, why is it that Ukraine isn't a brotherly allied country to Russia? Why should it be a mortal enemy of Russia? It really doesn't make sense, but that's part of the reason that we got where we are. I'll kick it back to you, but there's one other aspect of this I want to get to. But am I missing anything about the Holodomor and its impact on modern politics?
No, and I think one of the very important things about this is the Holodomor does is obviously a hideous hangover from that period, and it still does affect people, and rightfully so. But again, it is something that the West largely doesn't acknowledge or know about, and because of that, that's another very, very important reason as to why people in the West don't understand what's going on here. People in the West don't understand what's going on because they don't have any context other than what the mainstream media gives to them. Now, this is very important because I talk about this a lot. And I did a debate with a Muslim the other week, and it was quite productive. I really enjoyed it. I found him to be very, very interesting. I found him actually to be quite reasonable and quite amenable when it came to discussing these things. But I did say to him, well, what's the biggest force in the West for changing people's minds and for causing problems? And he was like, well, what do you think? And I was like, well, the media. And he was like, oh, okay. And I said, well, who owns the media? And he was like, well, I know what you're going to say. And I said, well, yeah, you know what I'm going to say, because it's true. And I think when you look at this from our perspective, you have to say that you've basically got huge, huge amounts of misinformation flowing to the people of Western countries. And you have to then say, well, not only have you got huge amounts of misinformation flowing to people in Western countries, you've also got a complete lack of real historical knowledge. And if you look at both of those issues and take them together, it's obviously no surprise that people in the West can easily start to believe that this is just some, horrific power grab by Vladimir Putin, when obviously it isn't. Once more, there is virtually no knowledge in the West from your average folk of NATO and what NATO does. If you spoke to most people in Britain and you said, do you know what NATO is? Do you have any knowledge of NATO? I don't think they would. I don't think they actually would. I think they would look at you and they'd be like, I think they would have really very little knowledge whatsoever of NATO. And I certainly think if you try to explain to them that NATO is basically extremely aggressive, NATO wants bases right up against Russia's boundaries, they wouldn't understand that either. And because of this, trying to actually get the context of this geopolitical issue out to the public is very, very difficult. Not only is it very, very difficult, but the mainstream media have really pulled a very, very good trick here, because essentially they are telling people that all there is to this is there is a madman, Putin, and Putin wants a massive power grab. And basically that is the long and short of this. Big power grab by nasty man. And then there's the there's a small print underneath, if they need it, of this is Hitler 2.0. And politicians in the West are playing up to that. So you have people like Boris Johnson saying this is going to be the biggest war in Europe since 1945. So obviously you've got a bit of a Hitler connection there. Then he says, not only is it going to be, then you've got other members of the Conservative cabinet talking about this in the same terms as you would talk about historical events pre-Second World War. So they really are building this up, that Putin is basically the new Hitler, and this is essentially the beginning of World War III, as if history's playing out all over again, and Putin has no rights, no real reasons for doing this other than his own sort of greed. And obviously that's what they say about Hitler, and we know, obviously you and I know, and the listeners to this show know, that is a very misleading and rather foolish narrative too. But unfortunately, it's a narrative that British and Americans have been spoon-fed for a ridiculously long time. And because they've been spoon-fed that, they believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people just don't have the prerequisite knowledge to understand what's going on here. There's one more well, prerequisite that I'd like to get into. And this is the legacy of the internal borders of Russia and a couple other Eastern European countries. When the Berlin Wall fell, you had three countries. Berlin Wall, that's 1989. The dismemberment of the Soviet Union was a couple years later, but you can kind of look at them as one event. And you had three countries that were dismembered. One was the Soviet Union, then Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia. And all three of these countries were unions. They were made up of republics. So in the Soviet Union, you had 15 republics, with Russia being by far the largest, and population-wise, Ukraine the second largest. Yugoslavia had Croatia, Serbia, Montenegro. It had six republics, and Czechoslovakia had two. Now, the divorce of Czechoslovakia into the Czech Republic and Slovakia was pretty event-free. That worked pretty well because it wasn't complicated. You had the Czechs in one part, the Slovaks in the other part, and it just wasn't that complicated. Yugoslavia was complicated, and the Soviet Union was complicated. Well, the thing is that just like if you have a bunch of pottery and it's on a top shelf, the pottery sitting on the top shelf has a lot of potential energy. But as long as the situation is stable, the pots are safe. But if you get them starting to fall, as they fall, that potential energy is transformed into kinetic energy, and then everything, all hell breaks loose when they hit the ground. And it, because of things like we were referring to earlier in the show, where these what were internal boundaries to the Soviet Union or to Yugoslavia as well, what were internal boundaries? It was just administrative regions, and you could gift Russian territory to Ukraine for some political gain in the internal politics and things like that. Or maybe you didn't want one republic to be too big or too strong. And so there would be things like that. But also, one other thing is both Yugoslavia and this USSR, they were made up of their union republics, six for Yugoslavia and 15 for the Soviet Union. But some of those republics then had autonomous republics within them, or autonomous regions. So you had these different levels of autonomy. And there was all sorts of potential. Once you broke these countries up, there's all sorts of potential for redrawing boundaries. And redrawing boundaries is usually a pretty bloody affair. And so there was a big reluctance to redraw boundaries. Now, there were little areas of, part of Moldova that was mostly Slovak speakers, and they had a breakaway region. There were a couple of regions of Georgia that broke away, but there was never any official recognition, even by Russia, even by the countries that wound up being protectors of these regions. There was never a recognition of them. There was never there's de facto, but never de jure. They were never trying to redraw borders, because once you start redrawing borders, where does it end? And that's the whole thing. Where does it end? So this explains a lot of the reluctance of Vladimir Putin to recognize these countries or these regions. So he waited for a long time, but the first recognition of an end to that, to the internal boundaries, where you went below the republic level to autonomous republics or autonomous regions, the first recognition was Kosovo. And this was something that Vladimir Putin at the time, when I guess what, 2000 and was it 2007 or something, when the Western powers recognized the independence of Kosovo, or maybe it was before that, but of Kosovo from Serbia, he said, this is a horrible precedent, because there's so many other autonomous regions and especially in the former Soviet Union, where this could cause all sorts of hell to break loose. But when he annexed Crimea, which had been had voted for independence from Ukraine, when he cited Kosovo, and the thing is, now you're in an era where you know, this was something that Putin had he was showing so much restraint because once you set this precedent that the borders can be withdrawn, redrawn, there's really no end to it. Anyway, we're at the last break. I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
From now, he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Like Ada, like Ada, his taste is rather odd. Like Ada, like Ada, a randy little sod. Lord Flashcott, I wish you were the star. Lord Flashcott, you're sexier by far.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back. All right. So I understand. I mean, you do a lot of other stuff. You actually work too hard, I think. You do a lot of other stuff. You've got your Wednesday show that I used to be on for a couple of years, the Patriotic Weekly Review. And you've got your Friday documentaries, including a very excellent one on a documentary on the I guess there's a review of the Nick Fuentes documentary. You also did a live stream over the weekend with Cato, which I understand went very well. So
that was really a very that was an excellent show. And I've got to hand it to him. Cato is is somebody that people should really, really listen to. Really, really intelligent guy. Can't say enough good things about him, really.
Well, that's excellent. And so if they want to see your Nick Fuentes review, the review of the Nick Fuentes documentary, they do that, what, on BitChute, Odyssey? How do people find that?
Yeah, everything's on BitChute and Odyssey. If people Everything. Want to support my work, I really suggest that's where you go. You go over to BitChute, you go over to Odyssey, you make sure you got me subbed on one of those two places, and, you know, if you like my work, you know, be there, support it, and make sure you subscribe so you get everything, because when stuff comes out, that is where it comes out. And I did a number of different things over the weekend, including a debate with a Muslim guy, which ended pretty well, and you can check that out as well, but that's on his channel. But you should be following me as well on Gab and Telegram, where all my updates are. So if you like what you see, and you want more of my work, they are the places where you can get it.
Right. And support Mark Collins. I don't ask people to directly support me. Obviously, CoSertified is totally my sponsor. So download the CoSertified app. That is $3.99. Once, you know, you should have some money left over after that $3.99. And of course, I promote RVN, but I don't ask for anything as an individual. Mark does incredible work and does a lot of it and plays a very important role, because he has contact, direct contact with so many people. And so he plays a really important role in helping this large group of diverse people. Are we diverse people? To formulate narratives and exchange information, and he plays a very pivotal role. Maybe more important than he even understands, or maybe he does. I don't know.
Well, thank you for so many kind words, Patrick. That does mean a lot, and hopefully people will go and at the very least sub to me and watch some of those streams. So thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me
to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
Mm-hmm.